It's a Slim Time production.
We back with another episode of the Courtcast. By the voice you can tell is me, the voice of reason, voice of truth, the man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. Special announcement, I turned plus one yesterday. I'm not telling you guys how old I am, but you know. Thank you.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
It was a blast. We're actually more talented than you guys think, man.
Some of us more than others.
No further information will be this. But yeah, thanks for the love. Appreciate it, guys. As usual, beside me, the Blacksky Bayless himself, the man who has refused to call 77 by the name his mother gave him. Well, thank you for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Towards you calling his name?
No, absolutely not. Don't ever get ready for that, to be honest with you.
And the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. T. Shiesty.
He is a legend, by the way.
How do you do?
I'm doing all right. Wise word of today. Stay a legend so you don't have to be a legend.
What?
Stay a legend until you don't have to be a legend.
You see, this is why you got to be under your umbrella.
No, that's wild. That is wild. If you know.
If you know, you know. But yeah, man, this is another episode of the Courtcast, your favorite basketball podcast by now. And I think we should start off. I promise you guys I wasn't going to talk about the Lakers. I got sidetracked last week because of Russ doing well. But I promise you, we will not be talking about the Lakers throughout. Hand on my heart, this is me promising. We will not be talking about the Lakers.
We don't take that serious. You promised last season as well. You talked about this.
You watch and see. I'm done.
They're the whole of last season.
If they win two games in a row, you're not going to talk about this.
I'm done. Let's actually start with the Warriors. So they were 3-7 when we came for the last episode. And they've won their last two games, making it a more respectable, even though below par 5-7 record. And for me, I only got one thing to say about the Golden State Warriors. Mom, there goes that man. SC 30 is just ridiculous, man. 30 is ridiculous. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, to the extent that he's carrying that Warriors team specifically on offense, he had 40 the other yesterday against the Cavs. Just disgusting. This man, I mean, it's normal, but like coming off his screen, I don't know whether it was a floppy or just a handoff from Draymond. Coming off his screen, he pulls a three, and then the ball has, like, it's barely left his hand, and he's talking trash to the bench, and the ball goes in. How do you guard that, bro? You can't stop that. 30 is playing at the level he was playing last year. If you don't know, 30 is Stephen Curry. But I'm starting to agree with Femi. I feel like with the level Steph is playing at and the organization that the Warriors are and have proven to be over the past few years, you just expect the rest of them to come along for the ride at some point through this season. I don't know if you agree with that.
Well, I mean, I told you all this before. They are the Warriors for a reason. I used to hate on them up until the 17, 18 season because, you know, obviously with the addition of KD, they were this overpowered team. But the one engine they had that was constant was Stephen Wardell Curry, went to number 30. It got so bad against the what was that last game? The Cavs, that the man took a shot. And he turned around. And this is to tie the game. This is to tie the game. And he turned around.
That was a no joke as well.
And he walked away. Like he knew that. Man, I wish I had that kind of confidence in my life, bro.
I personally think the span over the past year, like from the start of last season till now, is the best basketball he has played in his career.
Absolutely. And I've always wondered if he was on a different team, would they have the same impact? But man. He
makes the difference.
He's generation.
He's a difference maker. He's a difference. Tosin, what about you? What do you think?
Like you guys rightly said, Steph is Steph and is amazing. And the things he does on basketball court, the gravity he has on the basketball court makes it easy for the team to succeed. However, my only question is how sustainable is what Steph is doing, because the team, if you just look at it, they're playing really bad. The defensive problems are still there.
Specifically, Jordan Poole.
Yeah, even when they won yesterday, they were dominated. They were down for the most part of the game, for majority of the game. It took Steph to score 40 points. How many games do you need him to score? The game before that, he scored, I think, 47. 42. So, 42. So, how many games are you going to need Steph to go off? So, like, I'm going to need something else from someone in order for me to be like, okay, this is the Golden State that I know.
Yeah, but with them being the organization that they are, you don't think Clay, Dre, at some point they're going to come along for the ride?
I think the organization is amazing and they put people in positions, but I think the fact of or the factor of age, we cannot overlook it. Draymond is, you can see his gray hair every time he plays. He's still effective on defense, but he's not as quick as before. And Clay, the combination of age and coming off of like 2 years injury, is the effectiveness is not the same. Not to say they're bad. It's not the same.
Just not at the level that they've set.
Yeah, and them banking on like the younger people to like come up, he's been disappointing. So I'm just worried about all of that. Steph is Steph, okay, but I'm just worried about like the previous.
That's valid. Yeah. I'm worried about Jordan Poole as well, because I don't know if it was you that was saying it yesterday that he has the lowest plus minus in the entire league. Every time he's on the floor, is a minus 10. He dropped 2 points the other day. He's always been a defensive liability, but at least he gave effort on the defensive end. This time around, it's almost like he's not even trying to play defense. He hasn't looked great all season. I said last week, I think he's regressed, and I think more people are starting to see that he might have actually regressed as a basketball player. Not as a basketball player, but he might have regressed based on the performances he was dropping last season compared to what he's pulling off this season.
I mean, last season, he caught everyone off guard, right? Yeah. Now, people are able to plan for him in a different way. Without to adjust.
Quick stat. Steph right now is the oldest player to average 33 points per game. Or 30 points per game.
Bro, what he's doing is immeasurable, man. He's everything to the... Steph Curry is Golden State Warriors. He's this franchise.
1,000%.
Like, no, he's definitely getting 1,000%. A statue in front of the Chase Center.
For sure, and he should have his... I don't know if there's anything like that, but his jersey is definitely going to go into rafters, but it should be higher than every other person's room, because no other person in this organization is ever going to come close to what he is to them and what he has done for them and what he will be for them to the day he decides to hang up his basketball shoes.
I also think his statue should also be in Cleveland as well. What he has done to the organization for the past years.
You're not wrong.
I mean, give them one of their chips, though, so...
Yeah, true.
That's it, man. I think the Warriors are gonna catch up. Tosin clearly still has his doubts, and Femi has never doubted the Warriors through the season. But I think that's it for the Golden State Warriors. Let's move on to the Dallas Mavericks. Their last two games, they lost to the Orlando Magic, and I think the Washington Wizards. Kuz dropped 36. I don't know. It's just at the start of the season, even though they weren't winning as much games as they weren't winning much games, we're still giving them the praise. Right now, everything just looks disjointed. And don't ask me how I ended up on Mavericks Twitter, but looking at the fans of Dallas Mavericks on Twitter, some of them are saying, you know, at some point, Jason Kidd has to be held accountable. The team is not looking well coached right now. I don't think Luka has been particularly great in the last two games. What do you think of the Mavericks and their situation right now, Tosin? Still a game above 500, though.
Yeah, I think their style of offense would always tire anyone out, and you'd always burn out rather quickly. For Luka, he always starts the season slow, catch fire mid-season.
At the right time.
Yeah, tire out sometime in the playoffs. But this time he played Euro basketball. So the time for him to tire out is coming rather sooner. He has the ball all the time. They miss someone like a Brunson that would alleviate some of the things that would do consistently. Now, Dinwiddie can do it maybe once in 7 games, but you don't have that person that would alleviate the stress
You don't
consistently.
have any of
And
the bucket getters except Luka.
So even to get other people involved is all on Luka as well. So I just see them like, it's just a blip because of gas. They're going to catch on fire again. I'm not worried about the Mavs, honestly.
So you're more worried about the Warriors than you are about the Mavs?
The Mavs that haven't proved
Yes.
anything.
Yeah. Because first off, they don't have like an age thing. They don't have injuries. They don't have people that have clearly regressed. They just have fatigue right now, and fatigue is temporary. So.
I can't argue with that. I disagree, but I can't argue with that. What about you? And try to be as objective as possible.
My take on the Mavs, I've always been this. They cannot win with the James Harden style of basketball. Harden was dropping 60-point triple doubles, something we've never ever seen before. And that's because he was trying to prove that with a one-man offense, you can win. They got him a Chris Paul, and they were still playing an ISO ball
System.
basketball, an ISO ball system, basketball system. And still, they still couldn't get over the hump. Even without a KD even without KD and the Warriors, they still couldn't pull it out. So my thing is this. The reason why Steph has been so successful is how well he plays off the ball. If Luka can incorporate that into his game, I feel the Mavericks will have or get better in a sense. They'll become more improved because having Luka off the ball is, for me right now, I think Luka for me is the ultimate threat in the NBA right now. And that's as objective as I can get. Like he's a triple threat. He can rebound, he can assist, he can pass he can shoot the basketball. Right? So if you have him playing off ball, coming off of screens, that definitely will disrupt the defense, not knowing if the ball is gonna go straight to him or the other teammates can get the bucket. But here's the thing: the GM has to probably have to, they have to get him some type of help if they want to be successful. They definitely have to just get him help. They can't, like LeBron did in 07. They just surrounded him with shooters and still could not get over the hump. You know what I'm saying? So he needs that second option
He needs a
where,
Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving.
yeah, he needs somebody to that, somebody comparable to that level to be able to be successful in today's NBA. Because if you're a one-man offense, they can be able to game plan enough just to beat you.
You know who I think? Oh, do I use
I'll just about my final point is you can't win if it's a one-man offense. You just can't. It is being proven. The only one time it happened was with Dirk, and that was like a magical run.
It wasn't really one man.
They had Jason Kidd
Jet
too.
was going off. Jason Kidd was there. JJ Barea was cooking LeBron. It wasn't really a one
Yeah,
man. But
but
Dirk
that's
was
like the
just a
close that yeah,
standout.
that was
I
like
hear
the
what you're saying.
closest
I hear what you're
thing,
saying.
you know what I'm saying? Even with the Hakeem Rockets too.
Yeah, I think that's more one man than
What yeah.
yeah. But for me, the thing with the Mavericks is the one person I think they probably in hindsight should have try to make a move for maybe a sign and trade with Brunson was DeJounte Murray. I feel like he could have possibly been because DeJounte Murray is a point guard, right? He can organize the offense, he plays hellacious defense, great rebounder, pretty good at scoring, and he's a great facilitator. With DeJounte Murray, and you could possibly get a sign and trade with Jalen Brunson to get DeJounte Murray, with DeJounte Murray. You now are able to play Luka more off ball than you are able to do with Spencer Dinwiddie. DeJounte Murray can go get you buckets in a more in a better fashion than Spencer Dinwiddie can. I think so.
About that, I was thinking that that's why I mentioned like a D Wade Kyrie before. So like I think because Luka is more like James
LeBron.
Harden. Both of them, their off ball is awful. So if you go like a point guard and you told them to go play off ball, they would just stand in one side and not do anything. So I think if you have like a Kyrie, what Kyrie did for LeBron, you remember like there are some positions LeBron would just, you know, just try and catch up with his breath. Like, this guy is tired, take a breather. Kyrie, go get a bucket. Nobody has to move. Just go get a bucket. Everyone is chilling. Catch our breath. And then after like maybe four possessions, LeBron can,
you know,
take over again.
And that helps with his gas situation.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah. You can't have the ball
every possession. Right? It also means that when he's off the court, they don't suffer as much as they currently do right now when he's taking a rest. So I totally hear that.
And there has to be a willingness from him, which I haven't seen in the past years, to play off ball. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, he needs to develop that side, honestly.
If you're the Mavs, do you jump the gun and try to trade for AD?
See, I don't think a big man is their problem. Me, I think is another ball handler. And if the Kyrie situation does not work out, I think they can go for Kyrie.
I don't want to see that.
I don't. I don't. Nobody in the NBA wants to see that. Nobody in the NBA wants to see that. But yeah, I think that's it for the Mavs. Let's quickly talk about bro, you cannot convince me otherwise. Every single person on that roster over there in Utah is on PEDs, especially Lowry Bird. Lowry Markkanen is on PEDs, bro. I'm not playing with you. I'm dead serious. Like, the NBA needs to investigate. They need to do a drug test. They need to pull him over after every single game, take some blood, and investigate what he is doing. Because it doesn't make any sense. Where is this coming from? Like, I ain't never seen you act this way before.
He's been like that.
You remember
like his first couple of years in Chicago? This guy was
he wasn't going off, but they expected him to be one of the next big things in Chicago.
Yeah, he could always shoot, he could always do all that.
I think expectation is the big thing. Now that the expectations have changed, everybody expected him to tank. I think he's just playing a little bit more free.
Call that man Lowry Bird, man. He's balling, bro.
And when you are clearly like the best player on the team, you know, you move with a different swagger. When you're playing on Cleveland and you're like maybe fourth option, third option, you're like, you know, a little more passive. But, you know, he gets the ball, he's shooting it. He's like, I'm the man here.
Nothing but the bottom, bro. It's like he's a no rim business type of player, bro. When he shoots that thing, all you hear is swish, swish.
The Utah Jazz boys, they are playing free. All of them.
They are playing free. They are actually playing free because everybody expected them to tank.
It's almost like it's almost like trading Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell just removed the whole weight off of that franchise's backs. And then they're just like, you know what? We got nothing to lose. Let's just go out there and ball.
It's like getting a group of like unwanted people. Mm-hmm. And then those people now have chips on their shoulder. They're like, we have something to play for. Everybody has disrespected us.
Kind of like how the Clippers did in 20 before they got Kawhi and PG when they took the Warriors to six games. But shout out Lowry Bird, man. He's absolutely cooking,
they're a team made up of like a couple of lottery picks, right? Markkanen was a lottery pick, I think.
Jordan Clarkson was a lottery pick as well.
And then Sexton was also a lottery pick.
So yeah.
They have talent on that team.
They do have talent. They do. It didn't work out for Sexton in Cleveland because, you know, Darius Garland is just him.
Off the bench on this team is crazy.
Yeah. And they have shooters, man. Like, they have people that they got, bro. If you play 2K, you know about that Rudy Gay jump shot. Even though he doesn't knock him down as often as he used to, but
his form is
great. I actually don't remember the name of their coach, but he was Ime's assistant last season.
And he's doing
a fantastic job. Danny Ainge as well. Dwayne Wade as one of the co-owners. They're doing a fantastic job, man. But my only thing is, do you want Wembanyama or not? Because at the beginning of the season, it looked like they were going for Wembanyama. And I don't think they're going to win the chip. As great as they are now, it's only right that we give them their flowers. But I don't think come playoff time, they have what it takes to go out there and compete for a championship.
I don't even think they could beat Memphis in the playoffs.
So, I mean, You play the sport to win anyway, so I can't fault them for winning. Big up the Utah Jazz. Even though nobody cares about Utah. Do you guys want to talk about any other team in the East? In the West, sorry, before we move on to the East.
The West, the Suns.
Yeah, the Suns. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I hate the Suns.
Because of Chris Paul.
You call us wild for putting them in the playing team.
Because I'm objective. I'm the voice of reason.
Because of Chris Paul?
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
You, the guy just said, I'm objective. Then said, yeah, I hate them because of Chris Paul.
use his own ammo against them.
No, I don't like Chris Paul. You've seen me give Chris Paul his flowers on this very podcast. Even despite the fact, I'm not like Chiseled Adonis with Grant Williams. I give Chris Paul his credit when his credit is due. But for me, like I said, the most underrated player, I think I said this in the last episode, the most underrated, underappreciated player in the NBA is Devin Booker. As Femi would call it, certified bucket getter. He can get you buckets in. You don't score 70 points in an NBA game if you are not a great basketball player.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when like Kobe told him before, though, be legendary, right? When he came time to be legendary last playoffs, that man was dead in there.
Are you more upset at the fact that he didn't show up, or the fact that he didn't show up and then Luka go praise out of the fact that he didn't show up?
You know, it's more difficult to show up when they're trapping you.
Nah, fam. They might have 2 points in the first half.
I mean, it's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. It actually is unforgivable.
It is unforgivable. In the first half, man. I'm sorry.
But I'm not worried about Phoenix right now because they're dealing with injuries, so...
What would you say their ceiling is? Would you say their title contention window has closed, or they can still go for it this year?
With the way the West is right now, if they face Mavs
of the NBA,
if they face Mavs at any point in the playoffs, I believe Mavs will win. Golden State, I believe Golden State will win. New Orleans. So I don't think they're still in these conference finals. I think they're just going to be a difficult matchup for anyone, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think they're, regardless of where they reach Western Conference part of the playoffs, mm-hmm. I think their title contention window is now closed. I don't think this core is going to be the core of CP, Book, and
We CP averaging solely 3 points per game. I don't think they
CP slowly transitioning into the greatest 5 points per game player of all time.
He's Rondo right now. That's it.
The man reminds me of Raymond Felton.
I hate CP. I don't like CP, but you know, bro, Raymond Felton is a legend. You know how on FIFA they created a whole ass Lord Bentner thing just because of how bad Bentner was. We deserve a Lord Raymond Felton.
Do you guys know the YouTuber Cash Nasty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do? He's Cash Nasty right now.
I don't know who that is, but
if
that was out of pocket, I apologize.
That was really out of pocket. Your Cash, bro. Cash, I rock with you, my boy.
I apologize. Let's move on to the East, man. The Milwaukee Bucks, they are cooking on a different level right now.
What's his name?
Please explain the type of cooking they are doing right now, because since the last four, they lost two games.
They lost two games all season.
No, I mean, but
Giannis didn't play a lot of games this
week. We also knew that their schedule was somewhat favorable.
Giannis didn't play a lot of games this week, though.
But he played against Atlanta and they lost.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to go 7-2, 82, and who are you?
No, you're not. And they don't have like Middleton, Connington. So
exactly,
yeah.
But they don't have Middleton, Connington, and Giannis right now. But what they have is him.
Yeah, yeah.
And him is Javon Carter.
I still believe Boston is a better team than them right now.
Bruh.
But
with Javon Carter, nah.
Javon Carter, bro. You ever seen a man play?
They asked that man, when did you know you had it going? He said, when so I woke up. I respect it. I respect it.
He was dead ass too. The man was looking at his straight
face. He wasn't playing. The reporter probably thought he was going to laugh after I said it, but he kept his face straight. Yeah, like
dead straight.
And I said, when I woke up.
And then he's
not playing.
The next day, they asked Kuzma, what was working for you? He said, everything.
No, Kuz is different, man. Anyway,
he said, I've been telling coach to run every play for me.
Oh, I was like, give me the ball, I get out of my damn way.
They missed that in Lakers right now. When he was coming off the bench. Guy,
we need to stop talking about the Lakers, please. They are irrelevant.
I remember that one shot over the Denver Nuggets, and he said if it was Jesus, he would have shot it over.
You know, one day, the
guy is like a Nick Young. He talks like Nick Young.
You know, one day we actually need to make a list of top five most irrationally confident players in NBA history.
J.R. Smith is number one. I don't care.
No, J.R. is not there.
Clarkson is climbing up that, right?
Shots that man be taking, bro.
Some of the plays I've seen Clarkson make, I'm like, how? Where was this?
But yeah, for the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they just, like Tosin always says, build good habits. They've built good habits, and it shows every single week in the games they play, with or without Giannis. They're managing to win games. Currently 10-2 right now. Best record in the NBA. If the season was to end today, they'll have home court throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be one of the top two teams in the East, and rightfully so. They're going to be up there. Like, they're going to be right there when the season is said and done.
Absolutely.
They're going to be right there.
Absolutely.
Conference finals or finals.
Yeah. Speaking of a team that was supposed to be right there when the season is said and done, bro, you cannot tell me that you can trust a man looking like a packet of Maltesers to lead your franchise into the most successful season. The Sixers need to let go of Doc Rivers, bro.
Oh my God. Okay, did you watch their last game, the one they lost to Hawks?
I did not.
The highlights.
I watched the game, right? First of all, if you see these stats, you'll be like, oh, Joel had like a decent game. Joel defensively is so bad. If the guy is not under re-blocking your shot, he's so bad. Every time they were running a pick and roll, this guy was sagging off. And you can't sag off three in the paint. He's doing his floater. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, to be fair, Joel Embiid always... He's one of the bigs in the league that had mastered how to play the drop coverage to perfection, but he's just not working out this season. Defensively, he looks like a shadow of himself.
Yeah, their effort is also very bad. So they were down, I think, 20. Then, I think, with 3 minutes left in the game, Doc brought in the starters, brought in the bench, took out the starters. They went on the craziest run to a 6-point game with like 1 minute and a few seconds left. 6-point game. Doc removed the bench, brought in the starters. Go and close out the game, my boys. And they lost the game.
And that's where I have a problem with Doc. You can say
situational awareness, but how many coaches would be like, okay,
if it's Ty Lue, do you think he's bringing the starters back in? That is the difference between an all-right coach and great coaches. Ty Lue is not bringing the starters back in. We've seen it time and time again.
That's Ty Lue, though. How many coaches will do that?
Steve Kerr is not bringing the starters back in.
You think Steve Kerr is not bringing Clay in?
Well, Steph and Clay are different.
So Joel is not different?
Well, this season he's not.
Okay. Just wanted to get it out of you. Joel is not different this season. Okay.
I mean, this season, I have to say, I am very disappointed.
Very disappointed.
Like, oh my God. Disappointed is an understatement, to be honest with you. Because I don't know what it is, man. Whether in the offseason, the man just kept eating cheeseburgers or...
I mean, that's what he said.
Like, bro, like, call of them Popeyes, bro. Popeyes is for guys like me.
19 rebounds on your head top, 19 rebounds.
Capella, that's crazy.
Capella is coming back to his best as well. He's playing some really good basketball.
You know, I told you that Philly, they're last in rebounding. And then they go into that game and Capella is getting 19 rebounds on you. Like, what are you doing?
That's what I'm telling you. You need to sack Doc Rivers. At some point, it becomes an effort thing. And when a team is giving a lack of effort, half the time it's because, or more than half the time, it's because they've lost all sort of belief they had in their coach.
No, I can see that.
Okay, but if you've gone through a bunch of coaches and the same issue is there, maybe it's the players, you know, not the coach.
They've not really gone through a bunch of coaches, though. They sacked Brett Brown and got Doc Rivers.
Okay, but they had the same complaints with Brown, saying, oh, if we go like...
Because Brett Brown was playing Joel Embiid on the perimeter. Come on, bro. Come on. Come on. As much as I dislike Doc Rivers, Brett Brown is not even an NBA coach, bro.
You do know that when they pass the ball to Joel in the paints and he's backing down, there is no movement for the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a black hole. He just takes the ball. And
who is that on?
What are you going to do?
It takes a good coach to know that having a player like Joel Embiid in the post, half the time he's going to get doubled.
So, I mean, here's the thing. Joel, though, in Tosin's defense, Joel, though, did not come into the season in shape.
Yeah.
And I said it from the first game against Boston. I said the way Embiid is moving, it's not the same as he was moving last year.
He's he seems lethargic. Like he's very heavy on his feet.
Exactly.
And I can't believe
he was never like that.
After he didn't get the MVP, I would expect that it would come with like a different type of motivation, but something's just wrong.
I think at some point, because defense is largely based on effort in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Guys hustling, fighting for loose balls, grabbing, running to get offensive rebounds, making sure they don't lose the rebounding, but all these things, half the plays you make on defense are effort plays, moving your feet from side to side to make sure your man doesn't blow by you.
But also, when are we going to talk about the additions? This guy from Miami was,
I mean,
no, not Trez,
PJ.
PJ is going to give you solid 3 points per game only.
Effort.
What is that going to do for his effort?
And he's not giving the effort right.
Yeah, but what is he going to do if you're not putting the ball in the basket? Like, when it comes to playoff time,
they did not sign him for offense.
I'll say this though about PJ: he's moving like he's in his pajamas right now. Like, he's moving like he's.
I said it last week that he should start a YouTube channel where he rates shoes. You guys thought I was joking.
But I don't know. I mean, it's PJ Tucker. We've seen him like actually step up when he matters. You know what I mean?
The step up you're talking about, the people he was defending, they were still dropping 38.
But they were hard 38, though.
What does that mean?
That's funny.
Maybe, like, you know, normally it would take a KD, it would take a Kevin, like 12 shots to get like 30 points. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's a night when he's feeling at least like 16.
Okay, let's say roughly 16 shots. Right?
With PJ, he's probably taking 18.
No. Come on now. PJ,
bro, PJ, once KD rises up, PJ has never stopped his shot from going in.
There's no point having this back and forth. For me, the thing is, like I was saying, a large part of defense is just simply based on effort.
Team
that plays for their coach plays with effort. The Sixers play with no effort, both on offense and defense. And I think at some point, you have to look at the coach and be like, you've possibly lost the locker room. He lost the fans since...
Yeah, no, I believe he has
lost since the Atlanta Hawks series. So...
All the dogs they got, they're on leash. It's crazy.
I think it's time to let him go while you can still salvage the season.
But the problem with letting teams go, like now, Chelsea is facing that. When you rush to let a coach that is half decent go, what are you going to go into? You get what I'm saying?
I mean, Ime Udoka is there. If you're willing to take the criticism, you can go out there and get him.
And the Sixers don't have any extra type of drama.
And I think there's a guy who everyone is overlooking, Quinn Snyder. Yeah. He doesn't have a job right now. He's a really good coach. We saw what he did with the Utah Jazz.
I wish
the Lakers, sorry to bring them in on the air, but I wish they had gotten Quinn Snyder.
I like Darvin.
No, they don't have a coaching problem right now. It's not a coaching problem.
They have. Is that general manager?
Is that general manager?
He doesn't know
anything about his players and type of players.
He got the job basically because him and Kobe were guys. That's what it was. Let's move on to the Brooklyn Nets. They signed Gandalf.
That's crazy.
What's his name? Vaughn something Vaughn.
Yeah.
He's
Von Miller. Von Miller.
Definitely not Von Miller. I'm pretty sure you were disappointed with that hire.
Yes, I was because it's like you're shooting for the stars, but you're supposed to shoot for the stars. But when you have like the owner we have and general manager, like I'm not sure why they decided to go for one.
Because he
won like a couple of games and they saw the effort and then they decided we don't have to go for a controversial person.
I think first of all, KD likes him. I think KD likes playing for Jackie Vaughn. And if your superstar likes playing for a certain player, then there's no need for you to let him go.
That's a mistake. Anyone you would have got in place of the last guy, KD would have liked. So it really doesn't matter. You should have gone for the best option.
I think secondly, the Nets were not in a place to hire Ime Udoka simply because of the Kyrie Irving drama.
I agree with that.
I mean, plus, they already have so much drama around that team.
Yeah.
So if you were to bring Udoka, they would ask them questions upon questions as to why they would hire him, knowing his history.
Yep.
Which is not fair because, I mean, he's only being suspended. He wasn't like he was fired over said.
Sivinay said he thought the Celtics didn't fire him because the Nets were going to pick him up immediately. To be fair, he was right. The Nets were seriously considering hiring him, but I think they saw the backlash, and plus with everything with Kyrie, they're just like, you know what, like, there's no need for the Spurs to take this chance. Yeah. It's just...
You'd be taking like...
But like I said, Quinn Snyder is on the mark. I like Quinn Snyder so much. I love what he did with that Utah Jazz team. Despite the fact that I hate every single thing about Utah and just city and just the fact that it exists, the Utah Jazz were fun to watch while he was their coach.
Yeah, do you know one thing I think about as to why they hired him? They have plans of not re-signing Kyrie to a long-term deal.
They
cannot trade Kyrie because he has no trade value right now. So Kyrie is going to leave on a free. They're not going to get anything for Kyrie. And that's going to be disappointing for KD because you have no other superstar. So they'll probably have to move KD too. So why would you get a top-tier coach paying him millions of dollars?
So you're saying they could possibly be going through a rebuild in Brooklyn.
I think they feel this is the last season and it's done.
That would be wild because they traded all their picks.
I mean, they can get basically almost everything back. They've got for James Harden.
They will get for
KD as well.
I don't think they'll...
Do you want to talk about the Indiana Pacers? the Celtics, man, they just keep winning basketball games, bro. The Boston Celtics, they don't know how to lose.
Even in the East.
Even though technically they've lost three games this season. They don't know. They play great basketball, bro. I love their drive and kick game in as much as a lot of people, you guys don't like ISO. I mean, Jason Tatum is a legit superstar in the NBA right now.
You know, if your ISO is drive and kick, I have no problems with it. If he's drive and sidestep all the time, step back, that's where I have a problem.
Jason Tatum is playing hellacious defense. He's putting up pretty much 30 every single night like it's nothing.
Absolutely.
Yep. He's grabbing boards. He's facilitating. He's a genuine superstar in this league right now.
He's going under the radar. I don't know what it is, but...
To be fair, he's the NBA, in the latest NBA...
Power rankings.
Not power rankings, MVP rankings. He's third, okay. And rightfully so. He deserves recognition. He's been fantastic, nothing short of fantastic all season. Last week we were just talking about the play at the end of the game where he just boomed it on Jared Allen that should have been an and one.
That should have been an
and then one. Goes down on the other end and blocks a potential game winner. Speaking of blocking game winners, did you guys see the no call on Kevin Herter?
My goodness. Not only that, the one they just won as well, the Klay Thompson screen. Yeah, bro.
Klay did not even set this. He even set, that wasn't even a screen.
I don't think anything can be as bad as that Sacramento one. Klay fouled him 3 times.
Yep. And they said there was a mistravel before that stuff as well.
Yeah,
too many reports of yesterday's game is going to be interesting. Is it out?
I would think so.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it, but the too many reports. Warriors too many reports are always interesting.
I just think the refs, they don't know what moving screen is for Golden State. Just Golden
State. They don't. Like, watching the Warriors Celtics in the finals. Like, I think you guys remember one time I texted you guys on the group. I was like, am I crazy or you're not allowed to extend your knee on this screen?
Yeah.
They do it consistently.
Especially that Draymond guy.
I feel like Draymond thinks that is how you set the screen.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know how they get away with it, but I think they are too caught up watching Steph make the three that they don't actually check the screen.
So you're saying the refs are there like, ooh, that boy nice. Yeah.
He looked away too.
Oh, I'm dead, man. But yeah, back to the Celtics. I just want to give Joe Mazzulla credit, man. I was one of the people who said, you know, because Ime Udoka is a really good coach. He showed what he was made of last year. So rightfully so, it was right for anyone to think, oh, the Celtics might find it hard to adjust to life without Ime. But Joe Mazzulla has stepped in. He's done a great job. He's held them, even though their defensive rating is not as good as it was last year. But they still play defense. I love his calls out of a timeout. Like, for me, that's one of the aspects you can see true coaching. That's why I love Ty Lue and I love Mazzulla. Like, that play, Tatum cutting to the basket, bro, that's just perfect play, perfect plan, perfect execution. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have anything to say about the Celtics?
I mean, like, bro, the coaching, especially, I'm going to talk about the coaching. That is one way to step up as an interim coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That is, that one play against Cleveland, that was just fantastic. They even tried to run it again the second time, and it got Jaylen Brown wide open mid-range to win the game. He only just missed it. But with the Celtics, you know, last season with Ime, they didn't start off well, but they picked it up after. This season, it's like, it's a good sign for them to hit that gear early to, you know, get the early wins, get a good seeding towards the playoffs. And I do think they would definitely be up there.
I think a Celtics box 7-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals is our destiny.
I could see it. I could definitely see it. No arguments there. I could definitely see it.
I mean, I think last season, first off, they went to the finals. Last year, they spent majority of regular season building an identity with Ime Udoka.
Yep.
So right now, an assistant coach is just easy to continue. We don't have to change the identity. They know who to give the ball to. Yeah, they know who to give the ball to, when to give the ball to him, is your turn, but things like that. And they have more high IQ players on the team. Derek White, Smart,
Brogdon.
What's the name of that guy?
Malcolm Brogdon.
Those are high IQ guys with Al Horford as well. So they have
old man Horford. If you know, you know.
I don't know how you guys did that. So I think their team is complete. They shoot a three. They can defend.
They
when
do everything. Man.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised.
I want to give Marcus Smart his credit because I feel like a lot of times, specifically from Femi, he doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. And I know it's because he tweeted "We the North" after they beat us in the bubble. But For me, like, he's really stepped into this point guard role and done well. Like, it's not a coincidence. The Celtics had IT. Celtics went out there, poured all their money on, not IT, sorry. Kyrie. Poured their money on Kyrie. Went out there, poured their money on Kemba. And, you know, they never made the finals. But the 1 year Smart took over as the captain of the ship, steadied it, played great defense. His IQ is actually higher than a lot of people give him credit for. Yep. Like, some of the passes he makes, some of his first reads are extremely intelligent. The other day, he had 11 assists, one turnover. That is Chris Paul-esque in his prime.
Yeah. So
you got to give him his credit, man. A lot of people thought, okay, with Brogdon coming in, he's going to... I was one of them who said, I don't think he's a point guard. His bread and butter is a 3-and-D two guard.
How many point guards can defend all positions?
Yeah. You have to give him his credit, man. You have to give him his credit. I respect him.
I won't. And yeah, come see me, Marcus.
Objectivity. But yeah, I think that's it for... They want me to talk about the Atlanta Hawks, but like I said, anybody give a damn about the Hawks, bro. If you're a Hawks fan, I'm sorry, but to be honest, anybody give a damn about the Hawks.
Ah, you agree. You're playing good for your own good, bro.
I'm so sad for Toronto, by the way. We were absolutely cooking until this whole thing with Pascal. But yeah, before we get into everyone's anticipated watch list, let's give our top five MVP candidates right now. Tosin, who's yours?
dang. Number five. Okay, in no particular order.
No.
It will be Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Luka. And it's tough for me to pick between Devin Booker and and KD. No, I'm joking. That was a joke, guys. Listen up.
I've just about had it up to here with your list. I was joking, guys.
I'm sticking with Booker. Booker is my fit.
All right, what about you?
Actually, I wasn't gonna hold you if you had Kevin in there. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, their record is too bad right now to
but he's the one actually keeping them afloat though. But
Their record gets up there, you already know I'm coming.
But for right now, I do agree with Booker at five. I'd say this might be shocking, DeJounte Murray. He's really number three.
Bro, I don't know if you noticed, but the temperature in this room just went down because they cranked the AC up because I'm sleeping on the Atlanta Hawks.
Man, I mean, you can sleep on them, but like, I do think DeJounte is balling right now.
That's true.
About the Hawks.
You know, at three, I was going to put Pascal up onto the injury. But he's injured right now. So I'll give it to D-Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Jason. And number one, Steph.
No Giannis.
So you don't have Giannis? No Giannis? No Luka?
Who the fuck is Luka? Sorry for my language, but who the hell is Luka?
No Giannis.
Okay, what about Giannis?
Giannis has been injured for quite some time.
Oh, your list is fluid.
You know,
this is incredible. The numbers Giannis have put
that
up.
That is genuinely
I don't know how
list.
You can ignore Giannis. Numbers Giannis has put up.
Giannis has been injured for like a couple weeks though.
No, it's just
this this past week he has missed like two games. That's all.
All right. All right, sorry. My bad, listeners. I would remove DeJounte and put Giannis.
Thank you. Okay. We get that you want to add Luka, but you can't be objective. You're for
so you put D-Mitch. You put D-Mitch ahead of Luka.
We know D-Mitch stands for don't change. There's a reason why you ended with Mitch and starts with D. Don't change.
Let me tell you something.
It's like no.
Who has the better record and who has the better seating right now? Thank you.
It's all right, man.
Thank you.
I would say Luka. Sorry. From five, I would say Book.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have Ja in there so bad.
Me too. That was the person I was thinking.
I want to have Ja in
there. Ja or Book. But
you know what, Ja?
Book is playing without.
I don't like the songs. Ja, Steph, Tatum, Luka, and Giannis.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair. I can't argue that.
How miserable must it be for you to hit on somebody as good as Luka?
Like, the guy must be seeing the stats and be like, God damn.
And you really know, people on Twitter be going, Luka is him, Luka is him. And he would just be upset scrolling through his phone.
Every week, I know you see, like, the new records Luka is breaking. Like, he's in talks with MJ, Wilds, all those conversations. You're like, damn, I really hate on this guy for no reason.
Femi, be honest with us. At some point, is he just like, okay, it's part of my personality now. I can't change my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Because when I'm telling you, man, right now is better than Kawhi, you guys will see it, but it's all
right. No, you know what? Let's end this right here. Let's end this right here. Let's end this right here. Everyone's favorite segment of the show. The one everyone looks forward to, the list that is not an indictment but an encouragement. Tosin, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Today I'm not going to be doing a presentation.
Listeners were really looking forward to it.
I'm using my phone, and well, yeah, it will still be the same experience because for number five we have the Atlanta Hawks. And first of all, during this past week, they were third in defensive ratings. And we know what defense is in the league. On their way to being third in defensive ratings, they beat Giannis and the Bucks. At the time, they were undefeated when they beat them. So
very true.
That's a small feat. They also beat the 76ers, who you guys love so much. The Kaka this, the Kaka that. And the only team they lost to... The only team they lost to is the unstoppable force, which is the Utah Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
And I think anyone will lose to Utah Jazz. PED so I Jazz. Think... That, yeah, PED Jazz.
This morning, the Nigerians are there using Jazz.
We know that over the past couple of years, we've identified a problem with that team, and that was defense. With Gallinari, Herder, they had people that could put up buckets. Bogdanovic. People that could put up buckets but couldn't defend to save their lives. And with DeJounte Murray,
DeAndre Herder.
They have a more Okongwu, that's Gal's trying to remember too. They have
I like him. Defensively, I like what he brings to them defensively, but
they have more of an identity defensively, which is huge for them because they've addressed their one singular problem. So I'm excited.
Is a great coach, man. He is.
So I'm excited to see what they're able to do from that, and if their ceiling goes up. I'd actually throw you guys that question. Do you think their ceiling goes up with them addressing their current their problem?
Y'all already know what I'm on.
That's like Luca, but go ahead, Luca to Femi.
No, do you know, I used to like Trey so much, but there's this guy I follow on Twitter. And he just be putting Trey in some conversations that he does not belong in.
Don't let people's irrational love sway your vision for someone.
So I became a Hawks hater from that day.
That's crazy. Okay, Femi, do you think their ceiling goes up?
I mean, they made the conference finals with a questionable defense.
Yeah.
Dr. Rivers added them the surgery that he needed to get into the conference finals without a good defense, but that's okay. But I do see them as a tough playoff out. Like you, right. you wouldn't. It won't be as easy as we all thought it would be.
I don't know, man.
Because when Trey goes to the bench now, DeJounte, the way DeJounte he organizes that offense,
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like my problem with Trey is like is the whole Lisandro thing over again. And but the thing is, basketball.
Is it Lisandro Martinez?
Yeah. Let me explain. Like initially, my problem with him was that he's 5'9", he's too small, and that's the same thing for me with Trey. Like basketball is a big man sport. You can only do so much to dominate on a basketball court at barely 6 feet, and that's the only thing I have with Trey.
It was in MVP conversation
for a year,
but he was dominating.
What about the original IT? What about the original IT?
Like, he was 6'2".
Still small.
Steph is 6'1".
Steph is 6'3".
Step 6'3", but they're still small.
Yeah, bro, there's a massive difference between 6'3" and 6'3", especially in the context of basketball.
He has that floater that, regardless of your height, you can block.
But we saw
and
what
he can shoot from the park. He can shoot from the park.
We saw what happened when they. But he's not a consistent 3-point shooter. But we saw what happened when they played Miami. In the half court, where they are picking, like they picked him up full court with those animals in Gabe Vincent, and you're switching from Jimmy Butler to PJ Tucker to Bam to Gabe Vincent to at some point Victor Oladipo. Like, I just don't see him good. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to overcome that.
Extra. Read all about it. We have the Utah Jazz winning another game today.
Oh, they won again?
Yeah.
That's tough, man. But listen, we don't mean to hold you up. You should.
Okay.
Who did they win?
Washington.
I might give them my reasons.
Number four on my list is the Brooklyn Nets. During this,
were they on your list last week? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, they were. Yeah, they were second. In this past week, they were the best defensive team in the entire league.
Hi, it's like an elephant on a tree.
I want you to know that shortly before the pod, we played. Who did we play?
Clippers,
yeah.
And we held them to under 90 points.
PG didn't have a good shooting night.
No, but that's 4 out of 5 games that we've held teams to under 100
and
points.
What teams did you play? The New York Knicks.
Clippers?
They just didn't have it. It's one of those nights.
You see, there's different story for different situations. but anyways, They're averaging 10.7 steals per game, 6.7 blocks per game, and allowing a league low of 32 points in the paint. Now, I know the analysts would brainwash people and be like, oh, they don't have like big body in the paint. You guys need to look up Nicholas Claxton. That guy is blocking anybody.
Let me ask you a question. Did he think by saying his full name, we're going to be intimidated?
Yeah, I thought so. Did it work? No.
No.
Okay. Yeah, but two things. Their last 5 games, I won't allow you to get away with it, bro.
They were?
I won't allow you to get away with that.
Go ahead.
Bro. Your competition was subpar.
So Clippers are not a competition.
The one game, bro. One game.
Okay, what about the Knicks, the Hornets, the Washington Wizards?
The Knicks
Wizards?
Are not a competition. The Knicks beat Philly. The Knicks beat Philly. Knicks.
No, come on. They're only popular because of Bing Bong. They trash.
But they're an NBA team and we'll beat them by like 40. So it's an improvement. Because if you remember like the first couple of games we lost in the season, there were games that we should have won. They were small teams as well. And we couldn't stop them from scoring 120. So there is improvements. And the coach is actually calling plays. There is ball movement. There is passing. There is all of the things we need to see. There is timeouts being called timely. There is Ben Simmons not playing the center along with Nicholas Claxton there. Ben Simmons coming off the bench. This is a coach that is not afraid to tell you, yo, you're useless. Ben Simmons did not play the entire third quarter today. The entirety of the third quarter, he did not play. That is a coach that the last game before Kyrie got suspended, Kyrie was he looked distracted. He wasn't playing. He benched Kyrie. Kyrie did not play a bunch of games.
Man, like Jackie Vaughn.
Jackie Vaughn is serious business.
He's generational.
Okay.
I can't lie, with your Brooklyn Nets, I'm not moved. I'm really not moved. But like J. Cole said, I love to see a black man get paid. So congrats, Jack Yvonne. But
yeah. number three on my list would be Portland Trailblazers.
PED Trailblazers, bro. We need to add them to the PED league.
They went undefeated, but it's not just going undefeated. It's the story about their wins. Dame didn't play as well as their starting center, Nurkic, and they went ahead to beat New Orleans. You know how we feel about New Orleans. They didn't have two of their starters, and they beat them.
Zion is almost your build.
But from last year, we could see that the identity they wanted to build with the new coach was defense. And they've been playing hellacious defense. They have a bunch of people now that individually, they're good defensively. And then they have like a team sort of system to defend. So a combination of all these things, it's no surprise to see that they're winning games, scrapping out wins, because when is a close game towards the end, we know what Dame can do. So just make it close towards the end and you take you to the promised land.
I love Chauncey Billups, man. I love Chauncey Billups. I love
Chauncey. And they don't even have the gloves on Gary Payton's second. Jr. He's injured. He hasn't played this season. Imagine when he comes on. So number two on my list is Jason Tatum. It's not your team, it's just Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is absolutely going bonkers right now. He averaged 34.7 points per game this week. 34 points per game. Shooting 50% from the floor. Imagine scoring 34 points on 50%.
And you're not a big.
He's getting to the free throw line as well, which is very essential. Because in today's game, like if your jumper is not falling, get to the free throw line, make these other guys be accountable for their centers.
And the thing for Tatum is as well, I don't know if you guys remember, but like towards the first episodes of our first episodes of the podcast, I was saying, my thing with Tatum, like the talent is there, but he settles for a lot of stupid shots. So a lot of time, you know, take better shots, take the contact, get fouled, go to the free throw line, make your free throws. He's doing that now when you're seeing.
Because when you're getting to the free throw line and you're making a foul, they guard you differently because they don't want to be in foul trouble. So he made 9.3 free throws per game. 9.3 over the stretch of this week. Which is
9, 10 points. That's crazy.
Yeah, which is absolutely crazy. And he's a net positive of 16.3. So every time he's on the court, the team is up 16 points. So, and the teams they beat Grizzlies, Denver, which are like the teams we think will be there towards the end of the season. So I think he's top five in MVP so far, as we've highlighted. I think Jason Tatum deserves a huge shout out.
I like
that. And number one on my list is the Utah Jazz, the PED Jazz.
Thank you.
I mean, there's nothing much to say. We've already spoke at length about them, but they're number one in points per game in the past week, shooting the ball 50% from the floor as a team, making 16 threes.
That doesn't really make sense, bro.
You know what I'm saying? And they're making 16 threes per game as well, shooting 41%. On those threes, which is second in the league.
I don't even understand. It's almost like nobody's playing defense against them. How do you shoot as a team 50% from the field and 41% from three as a team?
What they shoot from free throw line? At least 80%?
I don't know what they're shooting from free throw line.
So basically, yeah, as a team, they could potentially be 50-40-90. Like what? How does that make sense? See, I'm telling you, this is PEDs, bro. It's not normal.
They have six guys averaging double digits. Six. So it's not just a one-game thing, six people scoring double digits. They have six people averaging double digits. That's recipe for success. That's a full team, a full squad. I wanted to highlight Markkanen as well. It's going crazy. And I think he's on pace to be an all-star this year. Even in the so-called West.
Call that man his name, man. Lowry Bird.
Larry Bird. But yeah, they beat the Hawks, who were incredibly hot this week. They beat them. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Clippers. So yeah, they're number one on my list.
All right, man. Rightfully so. I like the list. What do you think of the list?
No, the list was, again, well done, sir.
I like the list.
Well done.
Appreciate you. Like the list.
It's now time for everyone's other favorite segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The
certified. The certified.
The listeners are meaningful. the certified bucket getters of the week.
Let's get ready to
get buckets.
The floor is yours.
At number five.
Yes, sir.
Being top two in averages of this week in terms of points, rebounds, and assists. He had a triple-double over the week. And he, you know, he played extremely fun basketball to watch. It goes to the man in Brooklyn wearing number seven in Kevin Durant.
As in, he's him. He's him.
Okay, relax, buddy. Number four.
What's that? Hold your horses.
At number four, a surprising pick for me. I never thought I'd pick him in all any of the weeks that we were going to go through this season. But he plays in Sacramento, wearing number five, De'Aaron Fox.
That's what a good one.
What he did to the Lakers last night was unprecedented.
He got me 60 fantasy points. 60.
Bro, you know, I was watching the game and I slept off. I woke up to a dejected Femi. I was like, what happened in the Lakers game? It was like, the Lakers, they had it until they didn't have it.
And it was because of De'Aaron. The man hit the game, the three to take the lead. The man was just... It was just literally unstoppable in the fourth.
I think the tie game where Ross and Reeves miscommunication, whether or not to switch, and he just drives.
And he just,
I don't know if it was a floater or a two or a mid-range jump shot, but anyways, put the ball in the back basket, gives the lead, and they didn't look back from there.
Yeah. Are we giving that new coach any credit?
Oh, Mike Brown is coaching. He's a coach and a half. Bro.
I'm reluctant. Yeah. He's a coach. Bro, I'm on my hater thing, man. This is my reason.
At number three, they have an 8-3 record right now in the East from Ohio. I believe his number is 45, Donovan Mitchell. He had about three games this week where he scored at least 30 points.
Yep.
And for me, I don't feel like there should be any arguments in that because he was absolutely cooking this week.
He was.
At number two, we just talked about him. He's at the number two of your list. One, Mr. Jason Sidestep Tatum.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Man, but since the first two games of the season, Tatum hasn't scored less than 25 points in a game.
Say that again. Say that. I didn't hear you.
I'll say for the people in the back.
Okay, that's right.
Just good. Since the first two games of this season, he hasn't dropped nothing less. He hasn't dropped anything less than 25 points. That for me is just like, okay, my bad, bro. I missed you last week, but hey. My hands are up right now. You know what I'm saying?
Person, yep. My apologies. I wasn't familiar with your game.
Yeah.
My bad, G. And then at number one, the certified bucket getter of this week. I appreciate the drum roll. I was actually going to ask for it. Well, good stuff. It's the man in the bay wearing 30. Stephen Werther. Oh, come on, man. We can't. Is there anything much to say about him?
Nah, that one is self-explanatory.
That's certified.
You know what I'm saying? He's a certified bucket getter. Oh,
well, for me, I feel like somebody was snobbed.
Who was snobbed?
And he needs justice. Man, like PG-13.
I was going to put it.
Nah.
I was going to put
PG should be on there. Me, I have two other people, Shay and Paolo Banchero.
Yo, listen, what did I tell you this morning? I told you Banchero was going to be on that list. But after further research, Like, he only played like two games this week and he's injured.
Yeah. I would have PG in there.
I was going to add PG,
what PG has done ever since he said, oh, because the Clippers started off 2-4. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, that's my fault. I should be able to carry the load on offense more than I am right now. And it, since then, it's been 30, 35, 36, 27, 29. For me, he has to be in there.
I agree. But you see, the five, they have a better record.
Yeah, five again.
Five is
Femi,
seven.
Femi.
Yes.
It seems every week there's a common theme to the person you disrespect.
Cool.
This person averaged 30.7 points per game, which was fourth this week in Shea. Last week, you also disrespected him.
Yeah.
When are you going to respect Shea?
Yeah.
The thing is, I like that you put me on the spot. You know what I'm saying? Because guess what? Shea is a bucket getter. I will give you that.
Yeah, against but you didn't have him as one of the top five CBGs of the week.
I understand. Yeah. If this was the top 10 list, he'd definitely be in there.
I'd have him over the Aaron Fox.
Nah, not
yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Even though De'Aaron made that game winner from down near half court, I'd have Shea over there. I'd have PG over.
I have Powell over De'Aaron. I have PG Shea over De'Aaron. I have Ja over De'Aaron.
No, I'm sorry. I think.
I think your list is pretty good, but I'd have PG in there.
The thing is, I'm not disagreeing, but I'm disagreeing to agree with you because that makes sense.
I think I'd have PG in there over Donovan Mitchell.
Not this week.
I think KD has been better than Donovan Mitchell.
Nah. I cannot give you that.
You know what? I don't know. PG just has to be in there.
Here's the thing.
I was trying to do you a favor, so I'm taking KD and De'Aaron Fox. I'll put in PG and SGA in for me.
Here's the thing. There were three names that were in contention to make that list, and that was PG. I told you Banchero this morning.
Yeah.
And Shea. Because Shea actually even beat my Raptors this week. So like he was putting up numbers this week. But see those five? If you look at ESPN's per day. Points and averages and everything. Literally, De'Aaron is up there damn near every day for this week. And there was a...
I actually have you right here in front of me for the last three games, because the last week was three games per team. Steph averaged 43, Jason Tatum 34, Donovan Mitchell 32, Shea 30.7, Ja 30, LeBron 30, Paolo 30.
And LeBron 30 was for one game, eh?
Yeah. But he didn't play the rest of the game. So for the last three games, it was Joel, 29.5. Tyler Hero, 29. Yeah. KD, 27. But the guy you mentioned, what's his name? De'Aaron. De'Aaron averaged 25 points per game and he's the 20th.
If you go to ESPN's day by day thing, they measure their, what's it called? It's called BP. Something where they
BPI index
where they get your points, rebounds, assists, and everything.
Okay. What I just said is just points, so it doesn't account for everything.
Yeah, it doesn't really account. Like I told you at the beginning of when I started this list, was not only can they score, but they can also generate buckets for the other team. And Aaron had like one game where it was like 37-7.
I mean, I like your list. Like I said.
I actually like it. I'll give you a list. 8 out of 10. What did I give you last time? It was lower, right?
It was a C.
I'll give it an 8 out of 10. Rank his list.
I'll give it a 6.5.
That's fair. I don't.
You guys should rank my list so that I try to improve. You know.
I was gonna say D minus to be favorable, but hey,
you guys were like, "Oh, I agree with the list." But see how they switch up.
I'm kidding. I'll give it a B. Actually, I like the fact that you had Tatum at two. Just Tatum, not a team. Just Tatum.
I'll say A minus.
I like that.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah. Any other thing?
Losers.
Oh yeah, biggest winners and losers of the week. Actually, I'm changing my own. You guys can have your biggest loser of the week. But my biggest clown of the week is Anthony Davis.
Fair enough. I can argue that.
Nah, listen. I thought I was tripping on the AD talk, but man.
That's my biggest clown of the week.
Man, that boy proved me right.
My biggest clown would be DeAndre Jordan. Did you see that?
That's the best one. That's the best one.
Bro, that is shocking a full goal right bro. There. Bro.
Yeah, he's terrible.
You know, I have biggest clowns of the week, and those are the referees.
Okay, that's fair.
Referees,
what Golden State and Clay Thompson.
Oh, no. And then you have that red hair.
And then they teed up Russ for rocking the baby
yesterday. Yeah. Bro. Like, KD told
PG the ref for doing this.
He said that. KD said that's a foul. They teed him up. Like, what? He said that's a foul.
And they literally teed up PG today for doing this.
Like,
I like the rest. I'm sorry. AD just, I had to get it out there, man. How many points did AD finish with yesterday?
Oh, guess what?
What? 24. Remember, I swear to God, I'm not playing. Ask Femi. I was doing watch. I was like, Femi, AD has 17 in the first quarter. I guarantee he's finishing with less than 30. This man had 17 in the 17 in first half. Sorry, yeah. He had 7 in the last two in the last half. I'm not saying
and that's the problem with AD. Like, he disappears.
I don't see anything. That's my biggest loser of the week is the Los Angeles Lakers. It would be the Sacramento Kings, but the Lakers lost to the Sacramento Kings.
That's how you know. literally, that's how you know. So, you know one thing about that AD thing, too? There was a play where he asked Ross for a lob. He sets the screen, and the man is walking to the rim.
Oh, even remember.
I'm like, bro!
That's my biggest clown of the week. And my biggest winner of the week... Man, Wardell, man. What he did this week was just ridiculous, right? What he did was crazy.
I think it's unanimous this week. What do you think, Kirsten?
No. My biggest loser is... Dang it. I had it just now. Femi, you go.
All right. I'd say my biggest loser of this week... I was going to say Los Angeles, but you took my pick.
Oh, yeah. It is Los Angeles for me. It's Lakers just for a different reason.
They're literally the laughing stock right now. Mm-hmm. They're literally the laughing stock right now. But if I were to give it to another person, my biggest loser of this week has to be Ben Simmons, just because.
You all dropped. My man got dropped looking like a packet of Skittles as well.
Nah, I'm telling you. I can't even hold you. That guy, you should be. That's the guy you shouldn't be mentioning his name. Just say his number.
About Ben 10.
Yeah.
And your biggest winner?
My biggest winner, I was going to say Steph, but you took that already. It would have to be Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, can't argue with that.
Or Jason Tatum and their coach.
Oh, Mizzle. Yeah. What about you? Actually, shout out to my other biggest winner, the man who knew he had it when he woke up. Man like Javon Carter. The difference maker for that Bucks team.
My biggest loser is Lakers because every week they lose, but even though they are tanking, their pick is going to another team. So it's a lose-lose. There's nothing going well for them.
I can't imagine being a Laker fan right now.
Actually, that's what would be stressful.
You know, Martin Tyler said that if somebody's team was playing a different type of pressing football, which was called depressing.
Depressing.
The Lakers are playing depressing basketball right now, man.
Bro, it is so bad.
And your biggest winner?
My biggest winner would have to be... it's quite tough. It's quite tough. But I'll say Brooklyn Nets. During this week, they've firing the coach, getting a new coach. They've shown that they're actually a solid team and they can do stuff. They can defend, they can win games. And I'm really, you know, proud of them.
Tego, your laugh shows how much you are a joke. But yeah, man, that's it. We've come to the end of another episode of the Court Cast. As usual, I've been. my humble self, Mr. Freya Adela.
I don't think so. Not today.
The voice.
Nah, the straight up hater.
Sorry, sorry.
You were straight up haters.
I don't think not today.
Yeah. I did a little bit of hating today. If you're a Hawks fan, I'm sorry, but ain't nobody still giving them about the Hawks.
you talk about the most backhanded comment. That was it right there.
As usual, I've been the voice of reason, the voice of truth, the man who speaks the truth, only truth and nothing but the truth.
Except yeah.
He's been the black skip Bayless.
Wait. One second, Femi. Who do you think lies more, Feu or LeBron?
Stop. I will not have my name slandered like this.
Who do you think caps more?
I will end this recording right now, fam. My trying to compare me to Le Capricorn. Please stop. Please.
Oh man.
I was about to say as usual it's been T Shiesty, but I'm not even giving any props anymore. He's the guy
he's the guy
who cannot be live here with us for any
I'm
reason.
Sorry.
I'll stop for objectivity.
Apology not accepted, man. We'll come to the end of another episode. I promise you I won't have Tosin on here next week so you guys can listen to the podcast. Thank you for listening to the episode. We'll see you the next one. Make sure to check us out on all podcast streaming platforms. Tell a friend to listen to the Courtcast. Follow us on all social media platforms. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Adios, amigos.
Adios.
It's a Slam Time production.